Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. This is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on the first works. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 2. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Verse 3. "And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast thou labored and hast not fainted." Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Verse 5. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The word "first" in Strong's is number 4413. It's from another word which means foremost, in time, in place, in order or importance. At the beginning, the best, the chief, the first of all. Ephesus had some ability to keep going despite the increasing darkness. They recognized the false leaders that other churches like Pergamos allowed and labored to expose them. You need to be aware of leaders who are false. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Unfortunately, the church of Ephesus had not established a solid spiritual foundation of love for God and repentance from dead works. The church today needs to learn what the first works are so they can do them over again if needed. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Verse 8. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Verse 9. "Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Verse 10. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Verse 11. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 12. "For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "Everything I've taught over the years goes back to a few simple foundations that must be set in place and maintained throughout your spiritual journey. As these foundations settle and deepen, you will have no trouble becoming exactly who God has called you to be. His perfect plans will be fulfilled in your life. I suggest you write down these first works and refer to them often. Number one, love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First love. Number two, maintain Jesus as the literal functional Lord of your life, every moment of every day. Number three, trust the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Number four, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Number five, fear God and keep His commandments. If Jesus is your first love, then you will not let anything easily get between you and your relationship with God. When corrected, you'll be quick to get back in His presence by humbling yourself and confessing your sin. Those with the hope of eternal salvation are humble, applying the truth that God shows them through conviction, and are coming to repentance. The example of Ephesus shows that you can fall and lose your first love doing the work of the ministry and standing up for the truth. We read in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 to 21. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Those that have repented of dead works want the Lord to direct their paths. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but there is something can separate you from hearing His voice. This is not the devil. We read in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Isaiah 59. I'm reading verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. If you are born again, God has given you the Spirit of truth so that you can get to the root issues in your own life and change. Iniquity is a fruit of not using that grace for those root issues and coming to repentance. The devil can go fishing, but everyone is baited by his own evil desire. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. If you stay humble, this will not happen. God keeps records of all His people and their mistakes, and how they responded and humbled themselves when corrected. God is no respecter of persons. Paul said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 8, on First Love, on pages 111 and 112, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The first works are always to humble yourself, repent of every sin, and draw near to God. Whenever you need God, you always go back to these first works, regardless of how long you've walked with Him or where you are spiritually. Walking with God always comes back to the foundation of a personal, intimate relationship with Him. I keep repeating this because it's so crucial. It's here that Satan will try to distract you with ways that seem right. As the father of lies, he will always supply you with a list of things you should or should not do instead of humbling yourself. God requires nothing more or less than focusing on loving and obeying Him. It's imperative to focus your mind and heart on this simple truth. Always respond to chastening by humbling yourself. If you maintain your first works, God will use you for more noble tasks when you purge yourself. As part of your repentance, you'll also have to be faithful in more basic tasks first. A good foundation has some great results." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Verse 2. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." Verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." In the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 4 says, "If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think He can give them what they want and that they don't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Even if you say you love the Lord, you should check that you are still able to do everything out of love, since Christ is dwelling in you." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from another two words meaning unapproved. That is, rejected or by implication worthless, literally or morally. A castaway, rejected, a reprobate. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 3, on the first works, on page 51, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "If you struggle with spiritual inconsistency, it's likely due to a lack of bonding with your Heavenly Father as a baby Christian. Go back to the time when you met the Lord. Was it in a traditional church? Were you given a set of rules to follow? Was it in a home group or a casual setting? The location doesn't matter, but you do need to examine the circumstances. Did you genuinely understand God's purpose in sending His Son to die for you? Did you comprehend the Father's love for you? Did you see the magnitude of grace you received? It's important to examine what you believed about your need to be saved. Did you only get saved to escape hell? Were you pushed into it by family or friends? Did you experience conviction and then the joy of salvation when you were redeemed? Did anything in you really change? Examine your motives for seeking salvation. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind the thoughts and feelings you had when you initially experienced salvation. Did you believe you were basically a good person instead of seeing the filth of your sin and the fact that you deserve the penalty of hell? If you did not understand salvation, but know God save you, it is not too late to bond with your Father. If you've not done this, go back and do the first works over. The first works are humbling yourself before God, repenting of your sin, and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of you need to do these works correctly for the first time. If you are unsure whether or not you did the first works correctly, ask the Holy Spirit if this work was done. When Paul first visited the port of Ephesus, the Jews seemed to dominate the spiritual landscape. We read in Acts chapter 18, verses 19 to 21. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 18. I'm starting in verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and he reasoned with the Jews. Verse 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. This is an article from Christianity Today. After his conversion, Charles Finney, the American evangelist, prepared for ministry in the Presbyterian Church and was ordained in 1824. Hired by the Female Missionary Society of the Western District, he began his missionary labors in the frontier communities of Upper New York. A rigid Calvinism dominated the theological landscape, but Finney urged his listeners to accept Christ openly and publicly. His style differed too. His messages were more like a lawyer's argument than a pastor's sermon. Paul did not waste any opportunity and, led by the Spirit, reasoned with the Jews. They wanted him to come back, but they did not see his words an opportunity to repent and change. Paul came with Aquila and Priscilla, and they stayed behind to assist those prepared to repent of dead works and accept Jesus as Lord. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 24 to 26. This is Acts chapter 18, I'm reading verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Verse 25. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto them the way of God more perfectly. If you have a heart after God, you can respond to conviction, his commands and instructions by grace through faith. Ephesus had access to some written scriptures, but needed to hear truth and conviction. Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is Titus chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Today the sermons in most churches are seen as the viewpoints of a preacher, not truth delivered through the Holy Spirit to escape iniquity. At salvation you should have seen conviction as a blessing. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, this is Colossians chapter 3 and reading verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. For the word to dwell in you richly, you must choose to believe the truth and reject lies, making it easier on your flesh. If the word is not dwelling in you and changing you, then you'll end up opposing the truth. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, this is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Those with no respect for conviction in large seminars can pass on ways that seem right to the next generation as sound doctrine. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 2, Joseph Hedgecott writes, I came to the conclusion that if my life did not line up with the Bible, then there were no excuses for it. There were only reasons. When I began to search the scriptures for those reasons, while being led by the Holy Spirit, I began to make progress. I discovered that the reasons could be identified and removed through repentance until there were no more reasons. As this process continued, it began to change. Old things began to pass away, and all things became new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. My walk with God began to align with the rightly divided word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. As I became more comfortable with this process, I asked God to show me my greatest hindrances first. As I processed those hindrances through repentance, my growth dramatically increased. Timothy was told to check himself first. God approves of those coming to repentance regularly using the rightly divided word of truth. Without studying the word of truth personally, you will not come to repentance or grow spiritually. You will feel some discomfort as lies you believed are exposed through conviction. Educated leaders in theology are licensed to teach things that have not changed them first. When challenged, those defending lies resist conviction. Even if someone does get to the root cause, they will not repent for the sake of their flesh unless Jesus is their first love. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17 says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone and a new life emerges. Look at it. Paul called the church babes in his first letter to the Corinthians, even though they were operating in the gifts of the Spirit. He was not being disrespectful. Those established in their relationship with God that have done their first works rely on the Holy Spirit to come to repentance easily and grow. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, this is Hebrews chapter 6, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. For more information on doing your first works, please refer to chapter 3, the first works, in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. To do a dead work, you have to get in the flesh, reject Christ, resist the truth, and listen to a wrong voice. A dead work is any work that God did not authorize. God does everything out of love. So a dead work is any work that is not motivated out of love. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. For more information on how to walk in love, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. Everyone following Christ was supposed to repent of doing any work he did not direct, and seek God for righteousness. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Therefore, motive is also important. For those who have repented of dead works, God is now providing his commands every day so that those following Christ can do something pure instead. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 21 to 25. I'm reading John, chapter 14, and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 8, Joseph Hedgecock writes, obedience with a pure heart made the way for the Holy Spirit to manifest in my life in everyday situations, as well as in challenging, life-changing circumstances. When this happened, my relationship with God deepened dramatically. My advice to you is to keep it simple. Do not complicate what the Lord reveals to you. With revelation comes anointing. This includes conviction as well. And when God speaks to you, he provides the anointing, authorization with the word to do what he says. His commands are a blessing and makes everything easy. He died in the place of sinners so that everyone could look to the Son of Man and see how He overcame the cross. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Many look to the Son of God instead and claim him as their Savior and go back to their old ways afterwards. They do not want to live like the Son of Man and cling to God, rely on him and trust him by listening and obeying his voice. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Your life should have been completely buried and your new life hid with Christ. You should walk as Jesus walked, doing the will of the Father. Many believe that they will never perish just because they've accepted Jesus as their Savior and have the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, this is John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God. The only ones Jesus said would never perish are those who, one, hear the voice of Jesus clearly and do not listen to the voice of self or the devil. There are only three voices in the spiritual realm. Number two, know Jesus personally, using the gift of eternal life, and do not use their carnal mind trying to understand the things of God. Number three, follow Christ by denying self daily and taking up their cross, even when corrected and convicted through the Holy Spirit. Those who believe lies are deceiving themselves. They listen to their own hearts rather than the truth. We read in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 11. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse 11. As the partridge sits on eggs, and hatches them not, so he that gets riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be as a fool. Those who deceive themselves are like the partridge. They have their treasures hidden in different places. Those things they invested elsewhere have only temporal gain. The first works need to be deepened by trusting Jesus to finish what he started through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Those who listen to their own hearts also listen to the devil's version of freedom. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 to 11. This is Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You don't have to be ignorant anymore about the strategies that the devil is using against you. You can find these easily by studying areas where the Holy Spirit convicts you because he knows. I was told to study, but I didn't know how to do that without using my mind. I had to completely rely on conviction to know what to study first. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. Do not be afraid to read a large amount of Scripture as part of your first works. You should have read the whole of Scripture at least once. People say they do not have time to read the Bible, but that is a lie. They usually have time for other things. The Holy Spirit will use the written word to help you recognize errors for repentance where the devil has access. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. For more information on becoming a prisoner again, please read the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Doing anything out of your carnal nature to get what you want or desire will separate you from God and make you a slave to sin again. Carnal Christians believe lies that sinning is okay, and one more sin doesn't matter because afterwards they think they can stop. At one time you thought you were free, listening to the devil's version of freedom. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, this is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In the Amplified Bible, Galatians 5 verse 1 says, in this freedom Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. Any bad habits or activities from the past need to be put away. You should be on the narrow way, where God defines the boundaries for you. Jesus did not give you a list of rules or doctrines to follow. He gave you the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. Jesus did not create a world religion that the devil could contaminate later through man serving the lust of his flesh. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. Verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ears in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and afterwards that have no more than they can do. Verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he is killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Verse 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Verse 9. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. In front of a huge crowd gathering, Jesus spoke to his own disciples first. He told them that even the hairs on their head were numbered because they were following Christ on the narrow way. Jesus made these important points. Number one, beware of any teaching with dead religious works telling people that they can still inherit the kingdom of God and do what they want when they want. You are to speak the truth in love based on the grace and mercy you experience yourself in many situations. Number two, always learn from your mistakes. Everything not confessed and declared on earth will be made known in the final judgment. Number three, whatever you do or say in secret will become common knowledge if you're following Christ and preaching repentance. There is no backsliding or room to be lukewarm. Number four, never trade the fear of God for the fear of man and speak boldly in the face of persecution. God is always in control. Number five, you are God's new creation and more precious to God than many sparrows when following Christ. You will not die early if you are on God's mission. Number six, in the face of persecution, give the good confession and do not deny Christ or he will deny you a place in heaven. God has one standard for all. He is no respecter of persons and he is Lord. Number seven, do not speak against or resist the correction of the Holy Spirit. Confess your sins immediately. The Spirit of truth is your means to get to the root of sin and repent. You will get behind otherwise, and God will have to send someone else if you resist the Holy Spirit. You might make mistakes, but if Jesus is Lord of your life, you cling to him and you will change through repentance. The disciples made mistakes, but they recorded these in the Gospels for our sakes, so that the devil did not gain anything from any period of unbelief in their lives. Jesus said in Luke 9, verses 23 to 25. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whoso will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25, for what is man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? To save your life, you must be willing to lose everything for the sake of developing a solid spiritual foundation so that the devil cannot enslave you again. This is the cost to stay righteous in this dark world. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. This is Philippians chapter 3, read verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The word win in Strong's is number 2770. It comes from another word which means to gain, literally or figuratively, to get, to gain, or to win. If you are like Paul, you want to win Christ's control. You win his control by giving up those things you are holding on to in this world. You're even willing to die and be rejected to save others. Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you, often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. You're either for or against the cross. Taking up your cross requires complete submission to the divine will, obeying the voice of Jesus and following him. He knows what you really need. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 and verse 6 and 7. This is John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Verse 17, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Christianity works perfectly with Jesus as the head, making all the decisions. The devil gets no access that way unless you doubt God's love for you. You will experience firsthand how his authority works in the kingdom, being yoked to Christ's plan for your life. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither know any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The burden he gives you is light compared to whatever you're carrying. His yoke is just to do the will of the Father. Jesus was given all authority so that those disciples could see firsthand how he was willing to suffer to complete his mission and die on the cross as well. Jesus is not a demanding or corrupt authority that used the disciples for his own purpose. Jesus is meek and mild when you are submitted to him. He's also submitted to the Father, who knows what's best. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm starting in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You do not need the comforts of the world anymore. Led by the Spirit on the narrow way, you will complete God's mission in your life and be transformed without any influence from the devil. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You were seated with Christ high above the devil. Keep still while God works on you. He has the plan. Only change what God tells you to change through conviction. If you change anything you notice yourself, you will just make it worse. The changes he makes are based on the price he paid for you to get back in his presence any time. You must be submitted to him to be his workmanship and become his bride. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on page 19, Joseph Hedgecott writes, it's important to understand why conviction is paramount in the beginning. God is convicting you about sins that move you out of the Spirit. His goal is to do whatever is necessary to bring you closer to Him. He wants you to remain in the Spirit and be in a safe environment where you will grow up spiritually. Those studying what God reveals to them through conviction will not be ashamed or experience any condemnation. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, comparing you to Christ and getting you to the root issues for repentance. You should keep a record of anything that has been identified for repentance through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Use a notebook to record and later study those areas where the flesh is controlling you and Jesus is not Lord. The plan through the Gentiles and Paul, the chief of sinners, was that everyone else, including Israel, would see the riches of God's grace through submission and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You need to think differently about taking up your cross daily. Submit to his plan for your life. You have nothing to fear since you are seated with Christ. We read in Romans chapter 9, verses 15 to 18. This is Romans chapter 9. I'm reading verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 16. So then it is not of him that wills, but nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Verse 17. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardens. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 3, On the First Works, on page 55, Joseph Hedgecott writes, Christians sometimes seem to forget who God is. We believe doctrines that are contrary to his word. We believe we have power we simply do not have. We are created beings, and if he wants to extend grace and mercy, he certainly can, but he's not required to do so. Take some time to ponder Romans 9, 15 and 18. Meditate on the fact that God is in complete control and he has the authority to do whatever he wants to do. We have no power over the final outcome of our lives, and it's foolish to think we do. Start your day with a list in the morning of what God says you need to do and use the grace of God to obey. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. and God does it, that man should fear before him. God is working on you because you humbled yourself and accepted his plan for your life. He is the God of all grace, but you get nothing if you're not humble. This is more than just confessing your sins. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The word humble is number 5013. It comes from another word which means to depress, figuratively, to humiliate, in condition or heart, to abase, to bring low, or to humble oneself. Now, Webster 1828 described humility like this: freedom from pride and arrogance, and humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. The devil will offer you the knowledge of good and evil instead, that appeals to your reason and understanding. Only God knows what you need to know at any time. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, this is in Genesis chapter 3, I'm reading verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." We were all serving the devil unawares before salvation, following the dictates of the flesh, and ways that seem right. Christianity is not just another religion where you can make Jesus your Savior and do what you want. If you listen to this lie, then you did not do your first works. If he is Lord of your life, you will be doing works that please him now. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Verse 4, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" Expect some suffering when you do your first works. Any initial suffering is there just because you were compromising with the devil before, who made you comfortable. Do not use your own mind trying to come to truth either. You will end up back in the flesh. Any work done when you are in the Spirit will not be destroyed if you maintain your first works. Let God direct and chasten you. He has to be the author and finisher of your faith. The moment you stop trusting God, you also take over the Lordship. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Verse 3, "If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 4, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Verse 5, "You also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief corner stone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded." Verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 3, on laying the foundation, on page 50, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The most important foundation stone placed in a new building is the cornerstone. In the same way, Jesus is the cornerstone of your Christian life. Your relationship with Jesus establishes the cornerstone of your spiritual building. Every other foundation stone originates from this cornerstone. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is not practiced at all times, then your spiritual building will not increase as it should. Setting the cornerstone properly sets the course of your life." Peter told the church that had tasted the goodness of God to grow up spiritually through conviction and to establish a solid foundation with basic truths. Peter referred to the Jews that were disallowed because they did not accept Jesus' teachings or follow his example of trusting God. The cornerstone of the spiritual life is two things. Number one, faith in God by making Jesus the functional Lord of your life through the Holy Spirit. Number two, a love for Jesus and his rightly revealed word of truth that includes conviction and correction that you need to come to repentance daily. Always respond to conviction immediately if you are following Jesus. Do not do things that he does not want you to do. You can do them later if he directs you to do them at all. Do not question his decisions, as you'll end up on a way that seems right, doing dead works again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you?" Verse 17. "And if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Verse 18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on page 24, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The areas you believe are right cause the most trouble. If you are seeking a relationship with God, but it's not working, your problem is that you're already deceived. You have to face this truth. You must constantly examine the fruit in your life to see how it compares to God's word and his personal revelation in your life. If your life does not reflect what God says, something is wrong. It's not God's fault if you are not where you should be spiritually. This is why I will continue to encourage you to examine each fundamental truth presented in this book and ask the Holy Spirit to show you why it's not in place in your life. You will never change if you continue to make excuses. The Holy Spirit is in you and should have free access to all areas of your life. The Holy Spirit should be dwelling in you and active. He is the one who knows the mind of God. And when you resist conviction and do dead works instead, you're defiling God's temple in you. Those who love conviction and repentance are wise. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." In the Amplified Bible, Matthew 7, 24 says, "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. When you were born again, did you accept a message that said it's okay to keep sinning? Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The Holy Spirit will expose the foundational errors in your life quickly if you respond to conviction and repent with his help. Paul also said to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. This is Ephesians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake that thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The church in Ephesus did not get that light. The Apostle John received a message for the seven churches in the book of Revelation, who was on the Isle of Patmos, about 100 kilometers from Ephesus. The seven churches were on a trade route for all the world to see. Ephesus was the port city and the gateway to the other churches. The sequence of churches listed in Revelation 2 and 3 reveals the best inland route, avoiding some high mountains in between. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Smyrna was only 80 kilometers away, possibly a long day of 16 hours by foot. The church in Smyrna was doing well. It was not a wealthy church, but through faith was winning the crown of life. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Smyrna had to endure. If Ephesus wanted, they could have visited them and even helped Smyrna. If you want the crown of life, then you have to get on the narrow way and learn to be faithful to the conviction you experience. God doesn't have two standards. We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 17. I'm reading verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Those who have paid a price to follow Christ are worthy, because they are called, chosen, and faithful. We all get different tasks to do, but we have to be faithful to conviction. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God created everyone to rule with Christ as God's representative, without any opinions. You can have that position in his kingdom when you get rid of your opinions. Jesus came, and even though he died on the cross, he was Lord then, and he's still Lord now. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The Amplified Bible uses the word pioneer instead of captain. Jesus is the captain, but he showed us the way. If Jesus did not die on the cross, then there would be no sons and daughters of God. A son, by definition, is someone who is willing to suffer and overcome by denying themselves and taking up their cross daily to follow Christ, not someone just born again. Jesus did not compromise on the truth and pioneered for our sakes. The devil is always ready with a more comfortable option for the church. To do what Jesus did, you will be swimming against the tide of humanity, making excuses for sin. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, this is in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared God. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, and did this by trusting God, and expects you to overcome the flesh in the same way through obedience to the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16, I'm reading all the way to verse 26. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have always told you in time past, that those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You can now overcome the flesh in stages by grace. Do not resist the flesh in the flesh. Focus on walking in the Spirit in more areas of your life over a period of time. Walking in the Spirit is not the same as living or abiding in the Spirit. Your life following Jesus is always in one of three areas if you have not yet killed the flesh. Number one, living in the flesh. Number two, living in the Spirit, having crucified the flesh, but not yet walking in the Spirit. And number three, walking and living in the Spirit. If you're living in the flesh, you will react and get angry without the comforts of the world. Being idle, you will also serve the imaginations of the mind and do what you want instead. Living in the Spirit, you will have love, joy, peace. Be meek, and His grace will be sufficient. If you can walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be swift to hear and learn why you cannot hear when things get busy. You are a new creation now, if you are born again, and you cannot go against the truth. Real freedom has boundaries. You need to always be like a little child. Do not try to come to truth using your own mind, as this will move you out of the Spirit back into the flesh. Only through the Holy Spirit can you come to truth. Stay submitted, rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you. The Church of Ephesus could discern those bringing deception, but were deceiving themselves as well. They had a knowledge of the truth, but had lost their first love and had to make a fresh start. We read in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. This is Proverbs chapter 29. I'm reading verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Everyone born again should have a vision of being seated in Christ, who has all authority and power. Power and authority has been known to corrupt man, but Christ in his humanity relied on the Father to direct everything for him. You must take up your cross daily if you want God to finish the work in you. Paul wrote to the Church of Ephesus urgently because of the bad fruit that was manifesting. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to verse 11, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becomes the saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walking as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 5, 6 to 11 says, let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For through these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience. So do not associate or be sharers with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness and uprightness of heart and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your riches be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. Paul did not want any followers of Christ to associate with those who were covetous or earthly minded about temporal things. In Paul's view, a covetous person was committing adultery. Instead, he wanted those living on the narrow way, effectively doing the will of God, by the Spirit to expose those trying to serve two masters. Those on the narrow way can even do this without saying a word. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 to 9, this is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Verse 8. This persuasion comes not of him that called you. Verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Only those following Christ have the right kind of fruit under pressure. Paul knew that a little covetousness would spread. In the flesh, you will also be blind to the dangers in this world. The logical response to a life in this world infected by the devil is to serve God 100%. If you serve God 100%, that leaves nothing for the devil, who is helping man to justify and fulfill his carnal lusts and ambitions. The love of the world makes you powerless to obey God. You will not be able to keep up with God when chasing other things in this world. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply your needs when you abide in Christ. So you can discard the flesh. There is not much left in this world that the devil has not contaminated already. You cannot change anything in this world in the same way you cannot change yourself. Keep yourself unspotted from the world by responding immediately to conviction. You may never get an opportunity to do a noble task otherwise. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Trust in God's grace and mercy. He is not condemning us for making a mistake. If you make a mistake and get in the flesh, confess your sin and get in Christ immediately and learn from your mistakes. If you want to please God and be fruitful in every task, then you need to rely on him for wisdom and spiritual understanding and not your own mind. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep, Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about the first works. I hope that through this message God has been speaking to you and that you're ready to do your first works over again if necessary. If you're wondering where the problems all have gone wrong, somewhere you have lost your first love. You've lost that focus on the things that God is speaking to you daily. You may have hardened your heart, and now you've been estranged from Him and you're finding it difficult to get back in the presence. Humble yourself. Admit that there's something wrong with your foundation. God is full of grace. And if that's happened to you right now, you know there is something that needs your attention. It needs repentance to the root. And God will help you with that. And I want you to believe that. That will produce in you a very special experience, one that maybe you've never had before, of an intimacy as He cares for you and brings you to that place where you have even denied Him full access to your life. Your relationship will be restored. And if you allow Him to take full control and just love you, even though you are very vulnerable and exposed, you will experience a bonding and an intimacy which is part of your first works. Please take this opportunity to review the first works. Father, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message, that as they review this and as they are challenged and stirred up by the things that you have said to them personally, through the things they've heard, Heavenly Father, I pray that they will go deeper with you and they will not be afraid. They will not be terrified by coming to you, but with open arms, receive the grace they need to come fully to repentance in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. We would love to hear from you that this message has changed your life. God bless you and thank you for listening.